Welcome everybody to the second class, and we're still on the first pasuk, Bereishis bara Elokim et ha-shamayim ve'et ha-aretz. So there's a fascinating Rashi which is very famous, and Rashi says like this: Amar Rabbi Yitzhak. He's quoting Rabbi Yitzhak. Lo hayal sirich litchil et ha-Torah ela machodish ha-zerachem. The Torah should have started not here, but in the first mitzvah that the Jewish people got, all the way in the Sefer Shmos, the book of Exodus. Now, in of itself, this is just a mind-boggling chutzpah. When you first read this, the idea, first of all, that you can criticize anyone's writing or concepts. Okay, and you want to criticize the Almighty on his authorship. Okay, that's pushing it. But the one thing that is completely in the domain of the author, where he wishes to start the book, to turn to the Almighty and say, you really shouldn't have started here, is just it's just fascinating. So first of all, now we understand what Rashi means. Like, how can you criticize God on where he starts the book? Because from our session last week, we now understand it. Because of the introduction that the Torah brings in, that we have for the Torah, which is, the Torah is an instruction book of life. Torah siva lanu Moshe. Torah, as my Rebbe used to say, Rav Noach Zal, Torah, the word Torah actually means, the word itself comes from the same word as Moreh, which means a teacher. Torah means instructions, like you have in in Israel, Torat Mekavit, which means driving instructions. So the Torah is an instruction book, Torat Chaim, of existence, of living. Like you have driving instructions, flying instructions, gardening instructions. So you have instructions on how to live. So with that introduction, one would expect the Torah to start with the do's and the don'ts, what you should do, and that would be therefore the first mitzvah. That's the logical place it should start. So therefore, we're forced to ask the question, which is what Rashi is coming along and telling us, that the Torah should have started. The Torah starts here for what reason? By Meshum Koch Ma'asav Hegid La'amor, the Letet Lahem Nahalat Goy, so that we should have an inheritance amongst the nations. Because if the nations of the world will say to the Jews, Listimatan, you stole the land of Israel, we will say to them, right, that the Almighty created the world, and the basic rule of creation is this, that if you can create it, you get to decide what you do with it, right? That's a nice rule. So here the Almighty created the world. He gave it to who he wants, took it from who he wants, and then he gives it to us. That's it. As they say in the Talmud, tough cookies. That's the way it goes. So the Torah put it here at the beginning, this concept, as opposed to later on, in the same way that Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. The opening lines are the things that resonate. And so the whole world knows this pasuk. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. If you were to place it later on, in Shmos, in Exodus, it would have been much more obscure. But everybody knows, and therefore we're dealing with a level of learning that people have to be able to say this at the most minimum level. The most secular Jew who never opened up a Chumash his whole life, a Bible in his whole life, nevertheless knows this opening line. In the beginning, God created the world. God created the heavens and the earth. And therefore, that line is necessary for the listing, the nations that are going to come up and say, you stole the land of Israel. Now, it's important to appreciate when Rashi was writing this. He was writing in the middle of the Middle Ages, the middle of the diaspora, approximately 1100, which is halfway between the destruction of the Second Temple and the rebirth of the nation of Israel and the land of Israel, 1948 approximately. So it's halfway in between, the darkest, darkest time when the concept and the idea or the image of how it would actually come into fruition of returning to the land of Israel was a distant, distant vision. It was not going to happen for 1,000 years. So close to 1,000 years. So when Rashi is writing this, he's not talking about any previous time. He's telling us about something that's going to happen in the future. Now, when Rashi was writing, international law was such that if you stole something that did not belong to you, it had a name. Everybody understood this to mean something. What did it mean? It was called, in the technical expression, you're a ganef, you're a thief. It's stealing. We all understood that it was widely known as one of the most basic, primitive, simple concepts that any barbarian would understand. There is a concept of stealing, right? We understand that. However, international law was such, and the world understood it to be so, that there was one thing that the only way to acquire it legitimately is to steal it. And everyone understood that this is the way you acquire it, and it was perfectly legitimate, and international law was such that it acquiesced, agreed with this, that's the way you acquire. What is that thing? Land. The whole world understood that if you conquer a land, it is now yours, legally, rightfully so. This, by the way, is what's the so-called international law, was changed by the United Nations, what year? Interestingly enough, 1948. 1948, they come along, oh, wow, we want to, that's just an interesting digression there. But anyway, everyone understood the way to acquire land is to steal it, and that was legally legitimate. So when Rashi was writing, it must have seemed to many, many people reading this Rashi, this is just absurd, that the nations of the world who are all living on stolen land will come to the Jews and they will say, you are thieves. It's just ridiculous. Who can come along? I mean, maybe the Native Americans, maybe some Eskimos in Antarctica somewhere, or the North Pole, maybe some people are indigenous to that land, if there is such a thing, some natives in Africa who have been living there since the dawn of time, who never conquered their land from anybody. Maybe they will be able to come along. Okay, 1948 comes along, and the only time in the history of existence that the nations of the world agree to give another nation a piece of land. So if anybody has, in terms of the rest of the world, a legitimacy to their land, it is the Jews. And if anybody has the ability to resist a deflection against this criticism, it is the Jews. Because who can come along and say, you stole the land? You were the ones, you were the thieves that took it from the Turks, who took it from the British, and you gave it to us. How can we be accused of stealing when you're the one who walked into the store, took the thing, and gave it to us? How can you be the ones that... So when people, 1948, you're from Jew, you're reading this Rashi, you go, I don't know what we're going to do with this one. It's like going to be tough, right? We don't have to live very long. And we find that that's exactly what happened. So I asked Rav Yaakov Weinberg Tzal this question. He said, the whole Torah is meant to be written, it's written for the Jews. For sure, non-Jews read the Torah, but who was it given to? For us. And Rashi seems to be saying that this pasuk is meant for the Gentiles. We should tell them this pasuk in answer to their question, listi matam, you are thieves. So he looked at me, he had that look, And he said to me, Steve, he said, let's suppose we actually do this. Let's suppose the next debate in the United Nations, the ambassador stands up and he says, I'm fed up with 242, Balfour Declaration, all these things, forget it. The reason we're entitled to the land of Israel is because of Bereishis Bara Elokim et Hashamayim v'et Haaretz. The God created the world, he gave it to who he wants, he took it from them and gave it to us. And as they say in the Talmud, tough cookies, right? He said, what would happen next? A Muslim would stand up and he said, that's very nice that you have your book, we have our book. And then a Christian would stand up, we have our book. And the atheist would stand up, we got 242 or different things, right? Would that make any difference to the opinion of the world opinion? Absolutely, probably not, or insignificant. So then what's it written for? It's not written for the other nations of the world. Or put it differently, the only nation in the world that has any suspicion that they are not entitled to their own land are the Jews. In other words, if Native Americans come along and say, really, Manhattan is ours, or any other nation, the Scots come along and say, really, England is ours, they're the original English, or any nation comes along and claims that you're on their stolen land, they would completely ignore them. They would not have any credibility whatsoever. Or put it differently, the reason why the Jews could conquer 1948 so much territory and now are being hampered by a bunch of thugs is because we ourselves do not believe that it's our land. We have a problem. And therefore, Russia is coming along and saying the only thing that will resonate with us as our reason for being here is when we believe Bereishis Bara Elokim et Hashamayim v'et Haaretz. So now you understand what Russia is saying, that in the future they will come and they will say, and we are living in that time, and therefore in the future the Jews will say, Bereishis Bara Elokim. In other words, if Rashi is telling us that if in the future the nations of the world do not say, Listim Adon, you stole the land of Israel, then Bereishis didn't need to be written. And if the Jews do not come along and say, we believe the Torah is written by God, and he said in it, Bereishis Bara Elokim, the most basic, the most simple verse, the easiest verse, the one verse that every Jew knows, if the Jews don't come and believe that it's true, then Bereishis did not need to be written. And therefore, the fact that Bereishis was written means that we will come back, the Jews will come to a conviction and an absolute belief that the Torah was given by God. Thank you.